I stand as tall as the willow tree, slendered, arched, and overbearing, exploring everyday people do an amazing thing that makes them stand. I stand with your host, Michael B. Judkins.
Well, hello, one and all. This is Michael Judkins from the podcast I Stand, and I wanted to do this episode with you guys to kind of give you updates on what's happening with me as a writer and some of the upcoming projects I got. With me, joining me today, I should say, is Keith, one of the publisher of AOS 21 Media House.
Hello, everyone.
We're going to sit here and just talk about some stuff. And one of the things let me introduce this. As you guys know, I'm the author of two poetry collections. The latest collection, The Interludes of Sentiment to Me, is out on media platforms. But this project was released in May of 2016. Wow, it seems so far away.
Yeah.
May of 2016. And with that project, it was such a personal collection for me when I wrote that project that I wanted to expand on it. And I started, I had an idea of creating it into a stage play. And I partnered up with a playwright based out of California, Melissa Rose, and we converted 18 of my poems and based a stage play around that and wrote a script. And it's called Interludes of Sentiment to Me, Mercury Rising. And 15 characters, is two acts, by the hour and 30 minutes projection wise. And, and the development of that started. And right now, one of the fun things and also nerve-wracking for me is we just launched an Indiegogo campaign to get supporters to back this project, to bring this visual to life and just really get the whole feel of what the Interludes of Sentiment to Me is. And I'm really humbled and I'm really excited about the script. The script is done, but it's still, with any moving piece or any written piece, it can always be revised, during production. But it's, I'm really excited. And so the campaign is out, ads are circulating to social medias, and the interest is growing. And, I'm just here just trying to continuously to promote it and make sure this project comes to life. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that, a little bit some more, some other projects I got coming up, and just the creative process with that. So, like I mentioned a little bit, when I decided to change it into a stage play, the creative process behind that for me, I think, was actually, I would say, easier than writing a collection.
Well, obviously getting the inspiration to start it was one thing, but once you have the completed piece, finding other ways to put it out there.
It was interesting because the first month, I did 3 or 4 sessions with the playwright, and I love working. I one of the things I do enjoy is I love collaborating with others. And we just talked and we got to know each other. And then I said, these are the poems I really wanted to touch bases, which was a lot of them is mostly my performance pieces of this collection. And it just came together. As far as the character development, as far as the dialogue, as far as, me rereading the scripts over and over and over again to kind of find a voice. And it actually was done, I would say, probably by the end of 2016, believe it or not, early 2017. And
I know that's when we started our conversations about your campaign.
Yeah. And I just, with me, everything was timing, and it's just the beginning of the year, I got, swamped with other creative stuff, and it was just timing. And I think right now it was just a good time. So if all of those of you guys listening to all the podcasters out there, feel free, to jump on AOS 21 Media page, click under Michael Judkins, and you can get all the information there as far as the Indiegogo, as well as the video to kind of hear some stuff. You can even pick up a book or two if you want kind of get to know my poetry.
If you want the direct link, go to igg.me/at/Judkins/X to get directly to the campaign.
Absolutely. And don't miss any of those slashes.
Yeah.
Don't miss any of those slashes. So that's one thing. And while this is still going on, like I'm right now actually, you know, still just going around the Valley area, just looking at different venues and just projecting it, you know, talking to a couple of theater people I know, you know, and just kind of doing my homework, you know, in that sense. And even if I decide to do it on a small area, community college, high school, you know, church, to bring the play to life. So I'm just looking at all options right now. So that's where I'm at as far as the whole process of trying to bring this piece of work to life.
One thing that's been what's nice with your campaign, with what you've envisioned, we would love it to be a stage play. We'd love it to be actors on the stage performing it. But that's sort of the moon. And as they say, you can shoot for the moon. Uh-huh. Even if you fail, you land among the stars.
Yeah.
So we have a vision of, we want this program, we want this Indiegogo campaign to succeed. But even if we fall short, even just a little bit, we have a plan.
Yes.
To still fulfill this vision in a more different, creative way.
Exactly. And I think, like I mentioned to you, you know, in several of our conversations, you know, I am also open to doing a video play, you know, kind of recording it straight for video, and using that platform. I know a lot of my readers and a lot of people that I just work with, you know, video is huge right now. And I love live theater, but sometimes people like enjoying things from the comfort of their home. So yep. That's also another avenue. So I definitely know that this would happen. I just keep putting it in the universe, like, this will happen. And it's funny because not to change subjects from the interlude, but one of the pieces I expanded on from that collection, Mr. Left and Mrs. Right, I'm finishing up a little bit more from that. And I'm hoping to get that into production to kind of do a video poetry from that with two actors in that, working on that. So I have to finish the poem and write a quick script for that. So I'm hoping to get that out quarter two.
Well, I must say, you have been, of all of our creatives here at AS21, you have been the most forward-thinking as far as trying to promote your work and coming up with the most interesting ideas, whether it be doing the virtual book tour or doing some of the lyrical poetry videos, you know, the lyrical videos, and getting your work out there on a more diverse pattern than some of our others. I mean, we have several poets signed to us, but you're the one that's really kind of stepped up his game as far as taking it, you know, working with us. And obviously you've been part of the Passion on the Page podcast and creative speaking, video cast and other things. But the things you've taken on yourself to constantly thinking of other ways to reach an audience out there, you've done very well on that. So your creativity goes beyond the words you're putting down on the page, but actually try and find new and creative ways to share those worlds with a wider audience.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that. You know,
you're welcome.
I think a lot of it has to do with time. And I don't even have that luxury anymore of time. Yeah, because I think as a writer, as an author, as a poet, I consider myself a poet, but I like the new name. I go by creative. So I just, like on my business cards, I just put creative.
It's a pretty wide-ranging title when you think about it.
Yeah. So it doesn't just limit me to one thing because I just don't do one thing. So it's one of those things to where I always believed, or one of my mentors told me a few years ago, is that sometimes the door don't open. Sometimes you have to take your hand, turn the knob, and open the door. And and that resonated with me, you know, sometimes to where it's like, you know, you can have a lot of entities behind you, but you are still your number one promoter. And I think that's one of the things to where I just take with me when I do anything I do myself as a creative to put titles out. Like I'm working on my third one now, Please Excuse My Beard. And it's a work in progress.
Yeah.
No writing. Titles is down. Theme of it's down. Everything's down. I just have to sit my butt in the chair and write it out. That's how I do. Like I do one project and I'm already starting to work on the next project, or I have like several ideas I have to do. And then on top of that, you know, I manage a couple of musicians out here. So it's, you know, working on their projects and doing stuff like that. And you know, community to build. I mean, Rome wasn't built in a day, so.
No. Well, I have to say, we're both on the same page on some of that. I actually was looking on Facebook the other day, where it's showing my memories from posts in the past, and it showed me one from on November 12th. It showed me the one from 2008, where back when you were still writing, is something, you know, on Facebook. And I was like, is actively searching for a publisher. And mm-hmm. that was 9 years ago that I had my first book, and I was at that point looking for either professional representation or a publisher. And that was before I made the decision to take it in my own hands and self-publish my first book.
Right.
And then, of course, that started me on the journey, which led to the creation of AS21. So it's just interesting seeing that 9 years ago, how that, you know, started along. And of course, that was a 2-year journey, because it wasn't until September 2010 that I finally put out that book.
Right. That's amazing. Like the little things, like it's really like the little things that really remind you, like the journey. And like when I decided to put my poetry out professionally, you know, that started everything from the introduction, you know, to the interlude, to joining AS21, to even opening the doors back for music. I used to do music years ago, and that opened the door. My second collection pretty much opened the door to work with musicians. And here's a tidbit. I actually just got a text earlier today. One song that I've written called Lonely Girl. We've been working on this track for like, oh my God, like 7 months, I swear to you. And it's with the scheduling of the musician. I had one musician out here named Jack Myers. He recorded at the studio, and today he just sent me the message that it's finished. So I'm just waiting for the mix and master of it.
Nice.
And from the producer to send it to me. And the reason why I bring Lonely Girl up, because originally Lonely Girl was a title I had that was supposed to be part of the interlude to Sentimental Me collection. And I don't know, it wasn't coming together. It wasn't coming together as a poem for me. Like, and it was based on a conversation. My sister called me, and I guess her and my brother-in-law, her husband, they was having, you know, problems, and she called me, and she went to the vent and talk, and I'm sitting up there with a glass of wine, and I'm just sitting on my balcony. I'm just like, I get off the phone with her, and then that clicked right in my head, Lonely Girl.
Right.
So I started writing the title, starting writing it originally for this collection, the interlude, because I was in the creative process for that. And it just, I don't know, it just wasn't coming out as, like, I couldn't get it together as a poem. And I know poetry is basically song, but I just put it in song. I put it in song, and then that took like a year, and then I just started working with, you know, the musician now, and we just started recording it. So that should be coming out into the world very soon as a songwriter.
Yeah, I've heard similar stories on that. I just finished reading Born to Run, Bruce Springsteen's autobiography, and he talked about how there are songs that he's written, like he actually was working on whole albums, and he realized that it just wasn't the right time, like it wasn't all coming together.
Mm-hmm.
And like either the situation he was in, or yeah, you know, he just didn't feel like it was the time for that kind of music, and so he would shelve it, and then he would pick some of the songs from it and come back later with it.
Mm-hmm.
In later albums. I mean, sometimes he was writing more about relationships. Sometimes he was writing more about social issues. And I hadn't really realized, you know, being the fact that most of my listening of his music has been like on his greatest hits, about how each of his albums are built on a single story.
Yeah.
And I mean, each song may be wildly different from the last, but they all are built on the same narrative, and that he really tries to tell a story with each one of his albums. And now I really feel cheated on the fact that I basically only have his greatest hits and one of his other albums. So I think I have to go back and listen to like Born to Run or some of his other work.
But that's what it starts from, a story. Like that's how I draft up my collections. Like I have a feel. I have a natural feel of what I want to talk about and
right.
What am I going through at that time, or what is it something that's touching me in a way. And that's how I build my story. Like, even with the creation of Interludes and Sentiments, I mean, my creative process during that, Keith, like, I think that's how come the material I got out. And the reach from that book, even print sales, like, I got a really good buzz from that. I sat under a willow tree to write I Stand.
Yeah.
I went out at night and looked at the stars, walked in my door, closed, and I looked like, you know, and it was like, and I buried a spoon. I went through like I allowed myself to go head in with this project. And I think it's funny because I had a couple of other poets read it and a couple of literary people read it. And the response I even got from them, and you know, you sitting up there, these are the critiques you don't want. And in the response I got, honestly, it was just like, this is a nice body of work, you know, and I was moved because I knew how much energy, not even energy, how much of myself I put into it and what I did during the creative process of writing it. You know, like I allowed myself to get enmeshed into everything, into the loop. So I'm very proud of that collection. Although I'm ready to start writing my next one, but.
Yeah, it's just trying to find time in the day.
Yes.
So going back just real quick to talk about the Indiegogo campaign a little bit. So we're currently sitting at just under 2% of our goal, $175 raised. We've had 6 backers so far. A couple of them, you know, put their name on it. We have Sarah McInerney for $10, Tracy for $50, Jonathan Barocca for $25. Then we got a few anonymous donations. So we're starting, you know, for a person with the ebook perk. Don't believe anyone's gone for any of the higher perks just yet. Although there are many great ones out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you, Sarah, Jonathan, and Tracy. All good people of mine. And I've worked with each one of them in some facet in the creative world or in the professional world, in workforce, I should say. The perks are extremely important, and they're great listings on it. Again, this is another humbling experience to me, you know, kind of going through this whole Indiegogo. I'm a nervous wreck, and I kept telling people, I'm like, I'll be nervous for 2 months.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is the 4th crowdfunding campaign we've run now, and they're definitely nerve-wracking.
Yes.
We've had a couple go right up to the wire. We had one, our second Kickstarter and our first Indiegogo did pretty well that we breathed easy towards the end, but yeah, there was definitely some we were sweating it a little bit, but with this one thing that's fortunate is we have the perks are already created. In the case of like the one we did for Will of the Magi, that book is still in production, so the perks aren't going to be going out still for a couple months yet. For anyone who donates to this campaign, Interlude to Sentimental Me is already out, so the $10 ebook perk, that's not hard to get that ebook out there. The $20 paperback, we got that. Paperback is ready to go. So, other things, obviously, the putting together of a stage play and the programs, that's going to be time. But, I mean, we have the ability to, on this campaign, to fulfill some of these perks rather quickly.
Absolutely, absolutely. So make sure you check out the page and get your perks and support and back this project. I think it would be a great, great family-friendly entertainment.
Yeah. And how could you not want to take the $500 executive producer perk? You get lunch with Michael.
Absolutely.
A private lunch with Michael. Yes, you too. Eating. Good food.
Eating. Good food. Not Applebee's. And I love Applebee's. I love Applebee's. We're not going to go for the two first.
Yeah. Someplace quality.
Yes. Yes,
he gets to choose, but still, someplace quality.
Absolutely, absolutely. Go on that page and get your perks and support from a creative to a creative. Another visual art to help the world be a better place.
All right, so the campaign is going until, I believe, December 20th. Yeah, we have just over a month left. And we're sharing things constantly on Facebook, constantly on Twitter. All of the AS21 podcasts have some mention of it at some point, and yeah, we're trying to get the outreach out there. So.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things about me is that, you know, like I said, you know, I'm extremely humble with this whole process of people just helping and making this dream come to life. I'm extremely moved by the people that donate and the people that want to donate, but I'm also moved by the, like I was mentioning, the level of interest that's surrounding it already, like to where I'm getting people that I know, or even Facebook likes or LinkedIn likes that's really checking it out, and really my page and likes are increasing, so the interest is there. It's put a little bit more pressure, but that good pressure, but it's the exposure, right now, to me, is just really overwhelming.
Yeah.
It's overwhelming. I actually just let my artist, Neil, he was here a little bit while ago. I just gave him a copy of the script because I'm about to set up a table read soon. I'm hoping, I don't want to do too much right now for the holidays. I'm hoping probably like after the holidays, you know, this is this time of year everybody starts getting ready for the holidays, you know, and start things start to slow down. So I'm thinking hopefully in January, depending on the weather, of doing a table read. Getting it in January, February, time to kind of get a couple of people to sit down and to open a script with me and just read through it, you know, and kind of get some feedback and kind of get people to read it. And then that's another way to kind of generate buzz around it. Like I mentioned earlier, I had a couple of people that I know that work in theater, you know, give me some great tips and great information of how to put a production together, you know, as far as this would be my first thing doing in theater, so to say, whether it's through stage or whether it's doing a video play, still it's the same format, you know, to kind of use it. And so I got a lot of like amazing good feedback with people wanting you to win, so that's awesome.
Absolutely. I know we are definitely 100% behind you as best we can, because as I see it, it's a, you have created some excellent work with this poetry collection, an excellent story. And we're, like I continue to say with AS21, we're storytellers.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to make sure the best, these great stories that we found are curated, but also put in proper place to get it out there. Because if you have this story, you've created this world, it is absolutely the most important thing to try to get it out there, because there's most likely there's somebody out there who just hasn't found your work yet.
Right.
That's going to absolutely love it. That's going to, you know, inspire them to either to do something great or to even create their own story.
Mm-hmm. And I believe, you know what, it's funny. I'm smiling right now, Keith, because when I dropped the book, the interlude, and before the campaign started, I and this is a true story, hands is up, everybody in the audience. I had like at least 5 of my friends tell me I inspired them to do something. Like, fantastic. I'm not going to even lie. This is no lie. One of my friends, she started her own business. Another friend who's a writer started, you know, creating her blog. You know, like literally, you know, another friend, we decided to go back to school. Like literally, like it was like people that dropped me notes or sent me texts or emails and was just like, you really inspire me. And sometimes you don't even think, you know, you inspiring people, because I call it, you're in your ocean trying to catch a lifeboat. But during your journey, you know, people are looking at you. People are viewing to see what you're coming up with. And I think ultimately that's what the play is about. And it's about Mercury finding his footing and noticing that all the people around him are creatives and are talented and an amazing people all around, and just finding that space. And that's what the play is basically about. It's really about finding your place among a group of people and understanding differences, but learning to love people, you know, and I think that's the whole basis of the play. And I think it just fits perfectly.
Well, I always have said that you have some of the most inspiring poetry in our collection. So.
Thank you. How did you like, I don't know if you read it yet, but did you like Adi to Future Self? I don't know if you read that one. I put it in the annual.
I can't remember. I haven't read through everything in the annual, but yeah, the 2017 AS21 annual came out on October 21st. And we had a poetry submission from Michael once again. That's his third year in a row. Of course, we first met you with your submission to the annual 2 years ago. So, and based on what we liked in your work and the reactions we were getting to your work, that's when we decided to bring you on board as a creative and start this whole roller coaster we've been on working together. That's kept, you know, come together in releasing Interlude and then moving on from there to the I Stand podcast and many great events in the DC area. A good collaboration that we had.
Yes, absolutely good collaboration. I can't wait for you when it's ready to read the please excuse my beard. But it's not done yet.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to it as I sit here myself, a bearded man.
definitely not done. But again, you know, it goes back to just how the creation of the play, the interlude, the sentiment to me, the stage play, the script, and then also with the title, like what you mentioned, it's funny because the poem that I actually submitted to you guys for the AOS 21 annual that first year, was actually a poem that I didn't want to bring to the light of day.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. It was actually one of those poems where, you know, it was, I really try to stay away from kind of like political views in poetry when I write. So it was one of those, it was, the title was called Why, and it was about the Black Lives Matter. And it was, although I haven't been affected by it myself personally, I know people that have, but it's, I wrote it like 2 o'clock in the morning. I just wrote it, you know, like, and then, it came out so naturally that when I've seen the posting, the submission call for, the annual, I was like, hey, why not? And I submitted it to AOS 21, and I also submitted to Lehigh Valley Vanguard, which is a poetry submission out here, and both accepted it. And I was surprised because it was like a piece that I didn't, like I said, I didn't have no intention on releasing it. That's the one that, like you said, that landed me with joining the family at AOS 21, that, you know, started the crafting of the interludes of sentiment to me, which leads me now to, you know, November 12th, talking about the development of the script, you know, and getting the visual to life. So it fell right together.
Well, that was always interesting because we had that year, we had your poem, which was very steeped in the politics of the time with the Black Lives Matter movement. And then we also had an excerpt from a book written by someone who was Tea Party. Mm-hmm. So we kind of bridged the gap there.
That's what I was like, it was a different type of writing for me, literally. And I was nervous.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad it worked out. It worked itself out.
Well, I could tell you, as someone who has been political since going back, middle school. And it's part of the reason I moved to the D.C. area and live in D.C. and work for the government now full time. I'm a very opinionated person, but I'm also a very type of person who likes to learn and understand why certain things matter and try to find ways. And it's part of my creativity of trying to, when I write, I not only write to tell a story, but I write to teach as well. And try to be instructive, and because the power of the story is being able to get someone else to put, you know, wear another person's shoes and see things from a different angle, and seeing that there are, in spite of the bad association, different shades of gray.
Right. Right.
And just trying to understand why something may, to your, from your background, from your vantage point, may seem good or bad. Why to another person it might seem like the opposite.
Right.
So. And that just understanding, and I always try to say in some cases, ignorant is not a bad word. It's not, being called ignorant is not being called stupid.
Right.
If you're ignorant, it's just you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
And that's the unfortunate thing. So it's a chance, it's a teachable moment, as President Obama always used to like to say. It's a good chance to learn understanding and see how other people react to different things. So,
absolutely.
So being able to share wide-ranging stories like yours has been absolutely important to everything we're trying to do. And that's why you should go check out the Indiegogo campaign.
Yes, nice plug.
Well, it all comes back to that right now. So.
Absolutely. Every story comes back to what we're doing right now. And I think it's, even going back to the campaign, that's a teachable moment for me. That's the first for me. So I have to learn. I have to do my homework. I have to look at stuff. I have to be optimistic, you know, and I have to keep pushing forward, you know. So it's this whole process for me right now as a creative is a teachable moment. Basically, just everything's a teachable moment. And, you know, and every day I look, believe it or not, I look at the video that I shot for the campaign, and that even amazes me. Like, I think it's like up to almost 70 views. So people are interested. You know, right. It's definitely, I can see the interest growing, and I'm getting more and more people ask me about it. Hey, what's going on with this? So it's like, And these are, believe it or not, these are some people that actually read the collection, you know, and it's just like, wow, I'm going to see this. The interest is there. So it's one of those things where, you know, it's on the agenda.
Yep.
We're going to bring the interlude to Zenfentamine to life. You know, it's a great story, great script. I'm humbled. I'm humbled.
Yeah. All right. Be sure to check out Indiegogo.com and find, that's igg.me/AT/Judkins/X. And you can go ahead and support today. Starting, even just $5 helps us get on our way. So, you know, if we have a few thousand people give $5, then we're good.
Absolutely. So make sure you go to that link and check out all the great perks. You feel free to pick up a collection or two. You can find it on the AS21 website, and as well as information about myself on the background page there too.
Yeah, we'll put a link in the show notes as well as on the facebook.com/AS21. And we'll tweet about at AS21. Are you still active on Twitter?
Who, me?
Yeah.
You know what? I use Twitter like once every 2 months. I need to get like more busier on Twitter. I don't know why. Yeah. Like, I'm a Facebook guy. I guess that's probably why. And LinkedIn. So I'm like, I need to get on Twitter. Like somebody else just actually got me onto Instagram, and I'm just like,
yeah. I only use Instagram for work stuff, and I'm probably safe keeping that, drawing the line there. But I'm active on Twitter and Facebook, and now Twitter's up to 280 characters, so even more space for you to be inspiring, Michael.
Oh wow, yeah, I have an account for Twitter. I just don't tweet, I guess. I need to get active on that platform.
Well, especially since you have something to tweet about right now. Yep.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm going to drop that tweet. Absolutely. But again, you know, this is Michael Judkins. And I just want to thank you guys for listening and supporting the campaign. And hopefully you go on the link and support it and bring this visual to life. Until next time.
Hosted by Podomatic, iStand is available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, TuneIn, and YouTube. Like us, review us, rate us, and share us. Show your support by pledging on Patreon at patreon.com/AOS21 or buy an ad through advertisecast.com, a production of AOS21 Podcast Network and Act 14 Publishing.
Copyright 2017, AOS21 Media, LLC, all rights reserved. AOS21 Media. What do you want your story to be?